الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. فأما بعد، فقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم: إن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear respected brothers, sisters, elders, my topic for today's khutbah is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teacher par excellence. Driving transformational change, not just teaching some skills or languages or something, but driving transformational change is the most difficult of tasks, but the most rewarding. If we take the two hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ that are quoted on the subject of Rasulullah ﷺ as a teacher, in one, Rasulullah ﷺ said, وَإِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ مُعَلِّمًا. He said, I have been sent as a teacher. And in the other hadith, he said, بُعِثْتُ لِأُتِمَّ حُسْنَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. He said, I have been sent to perfect good character. Now we can say from these two that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was sent as a teacher to transform society. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the teacher, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his blessing on the people. He called the teacher the blessing. We write books to be read. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book came to be taught, not simply to be read and understood according to the capacity of the reader. The book was sent to the teacher, and the teacher was sent to the people to teach them to live by the book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْفُرْقَانَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ. Allah did not say عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ. Allah did not say عَلَىٰ النَّاسِ. He did not say عَلَىٰ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. عَلَىٰ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ. مَا هُوَ عَبْد؟ Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْفُرْقَانَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ. لِمَاذَا؟ لِيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَظِيرًا. الكتاب على العبد وعبد عبده ورسوله إلى الناس. Blessed is the one who sent down the standard, the criterion, the book of Allah to his slave, عبده, so that he, صلى الله عليه وسلم, may be a warner to the whole world. Which explains the role and the critical importance of the teacher as the medium between the message and the recipient. It was a verbal message. The Quran came as the spoken word. It did not come as the written word. Jibril Islam did not come with a kitab and give it to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, read it. No, he said, recite. Iqra. When he said, read. Read what? Meaning, repeat after me, read, recite. It came as the spoken word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke the Quran to Jibreel alayhi salam in a way that suits his majesty and grace. And Jibreel alayhi salam spoke the Quran to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke the Quran to the people. Only then was it recorded. It's very, very important to understand the power of the spoken word, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the kalam. It is not the tahrir. It is not the kitaba. It is the kalam. It is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another point to understand here is that when we say the Quran is not a created thing, every written thing by definition is a creation. The spoken thing is not a creation. The spoken thing is a sifat of Allah. But when it is written down, you are creating something. The Quran is the kalam of Allah. And that is the reason why without the messenger, we cannot understand the message. There is no Sahabi on record. Nobody who claimed to understand the Quran on his own without the agency of Rasulullah. Nobody. No Sahabi said, I understand this in my opinion. This is what I think. Nobody. Not a single Sahabi ever claimed to understand the Quran. Not a single Sahabi ever used the term, in my opinion, to understand the Quran without the agency of the Rasul alayhi salam in understanding that. On the other hand, we have statements, for example, of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah Al-Abasa, وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّةً. A man came to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu with this ayah, and he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaqul faakihatan wa abba, nahnu na'lamu ma huwa habba, walakin ma abba. He said, we know what is habba. Habba is a newly sprouting shoot from a seed, but what is abba? And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu says, what earth will give me a place to live? And which sky will hide me and shade me if I should speak about the Quran with my opinion or something I do not know? Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he got this thought himself and then he lambasted himself. He criticized himself and he said, woe to you! Beware of using your opinion in religious matters. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the one who Rasulullah made dua for him to understand the Quran and to get the understanding of the deen and be given by Allah the ta'wil or understanding of the Quran, he said, all that there is to follow and obey is the book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whoever makes any statement after these two according to his opinion, then I do not know if you will find it among his good deeds or among his sins. And this was the style of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who never said, he said, whatever Allah said haram in the Quran, I say haram. Other than that, I will not say this is haram. I will not say this person will go to Jahannam. But when he is saying, I don't know whether it will be in the good deed or the bad deed, he means it will be in the bad deeds. This humility and turning to the teacher with humbleness are fundamental conditions of learning. And that is why in our deen, we don't take the deen from everywhere. We don't take the deen from anywhere. We choose the teacher. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Rasulullah four related tasks, which I mentioned to you last khutbah as well. And these are like a teacher's checklist, these four things. Tilawat, in the case of Rasulullah, it was Tilawatil Quran, Tazkiyatul Nafs, Ta'alimul Quran, and Hikmah. To put it in other language, simpler language, it is inform. Tilawat is inform. This is what Allah said. Inform, purify the heart, Tazkiyah wa Tarbiyah, explain what does it mean, and the wisdom of application. So inform, purify, explain, wisdom. This is the key to teaching everything. What, prepare, how, why. That is why in our tradition of scholarship, whenever any scholar is mentioned, they don't ask how many followers he has. Unfortunately, we live in a completely upside down world. Right? Try walking on your head, then you will see what it means. This is our world. You know, Sheikh so-and-so, he has got so many followers. Find me one place or any of the Salafus Salihin, any of the Aima of Islam who said so-and-so had so many followers. We don't ask this question. We do not ask how many followers they have, but they ask who are their teachers. Imam Abu Hanifa, who are his teachers? Imam Malik, who are his teachers? Rabi' Turai was Fulan or Fulan. Eh? Who are the teachers? They don't ask who are the followers. They ask who are the teachers. Followers, especially in today's world of virtual followers, mean nothing and they add no value. On the contrary, popularity is a big test of ikhlas and a slide into ar-riya and shirk for the unwary. Because there is this hubba of popular, I must become popular. And if I must become popular, then I must say things too for people to like. I must make people laugh in my khutbah because that will entertain people. I must never touch anything which is controversial. I must never touch anything which might offend somebody. Even if somebody is sitting in front of me doing haram, I must not say anything about it because he will be offended. Ask yourself, how will you stand before Allah? Because the same person before Allah, he will say, Ya Rab, before you throw me into Jahannam, this sheikh of mine, this imam, this mufti, this qadi, whoever, he knew I was doing haram. He would stand on the minbar, look me in the face, and he never said it is haram. So I thought it is not haram. Hey? He will catch you. He will catch your neck, believe me. If you do not speak the truth, I tell people very, very clearly, I tell myself, if you cannot speak the truth, leave the minbar of Rasulullah. This is not your place. Praying Jummah is fard, pray Jummah. Giving khutbah is not fard. If you are giving khutbah, say what has to be said. Doesn't matter who is offended, doesn't matter who is what. If you are afraid of the people, you have no right to stand on the minbar of the Rasul. Simple as that. You might say, well, you know, I need my job, they will sack me. Okay, no problem. Don't give the khutbah. Sit down there. Sit down there. If you think the whoever is employing you is your raziq, sit there. Because salah behind you is not valid. Because the man who's praying, he thinks the raziq is a human being. Then how do you pray behind him? La hawla quwwata. We have converted this deen into a joke. Anybody teaches anything, you stand here and make jokes. This is the place for joking. Is the imam, is the khatib, is he a khatib or is he an entertainer? I want to be cheerful for the youth. I tell you, don't insult the youth. The youth are serious people. They want serious information. They want good information. Don't insult them. Don't think they are monkeys. They are only if you make jokes, they will laugh and they will come to your khutbah. Who cares if they don't come? Alhamdulillah. Fewer the witnesses, happier you are. This is our tradition, my brothers and sisters. That is why I tell people and I tell myself, look in the mirror. Teachers add value. A person without teachers in the deen is ignorant. It doesn't matter how many books he reads. Who are the teachers? The teacher is critical to learning. That is how the Sahaba are distinguished. Why do you call them the Sahaba? Sahaba means what? The companions. Right? Because they are recognized and blessed because of their teacher, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not vice versa. You don't say Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a great Nabi because he had so many followers. No. The follower is distinguished because of his teacher, not the other way around. We recognize the importance of the teacher in all bodies of knowledge. Think about that. Everything which impacts life, we recognize the value of the teacher, the mentor. Nobody becomes a pilot or a surgeon or a physician by reading books on aerodynamics or surgery or pharmacology or physiology. Reading is important, but to qualify, the student must practice under the guidance of a teacher until the teacher is satisfied, not the student. The teacher has to be satisfied. Yes, he can do it. Then he gives him the ijazah, gives him the degree, he graduates it. If the teacher says, sorry, you're not ready, spend one more year. Then, no, but the course is supposed to be 4 years. No, for you it is 5 years. For you maybe it's 10 years. Because you are not learning fast enough. The teacher must be satisfied. But when it comes to sacred knowledge, that impacts not only the life of this world, but much more importantly, the akhirah, we imagine that reading some books, watching some videos, some pseudo-intellectual discussion, and we have become experts. And we set ourselves up as teachers. I remind myself in you that as in life, so also with Allah. When you become a teacher, the rules change. You become accountable and culpable and punishable. The student can be excused, not the teacher. For the teacher, there is no excuse. So be very careful before you start becoming teachers. By all means, be teachers. We need teachers, but we need teachers who are trained properly with proper rigor in training and who are certified by competent teachers to say that they are certified. Otherwise, stay away. Let anybody become a teacher. You don't go there. Reading is important, but takes you only to the first step, which is information. To truly benefit, we need the human agency of the teacher. We need humility to go to the teacher and accept that we need to learn and put ourselves under that teacher's tutelage. To develop the attitude to enable learning. Accept that we do not know. Accept that the teacher has something of value to impart, which we desperately need and cannot get except from the teacher. Accept that it is our need to learn and not the teacher's need to teach us. Be like a patient going to the doctor. You feel the pain. You need to get relief from the pain. You need the doctor. The doctor doesn't need you. If you don't get to a doctor, you will die. In the case of spiritual illness, you won't die. You will suffer endlessly in the akhirah. The doctor is doing you a favor by giving you his time and sharing his knowledge and preparing and prescribing the medicine. So be humble, be eager to learn, and be grateful. Learn the adab of learning before you try to learn Islam. Adab are the password into the database. Without the password, you may own the database, but you will not have access to it. That is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ Allah said, which means, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done the believers a great favor by raising a messenger from among them, reciting to them his revelation, purifying them and teaching them the book and wisdom, because indeed before that they had been clearly misguided. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasized two things. The fact that the sending of the messenger who was human is a double blessing. And that before the coming of the messenger, the believers had been misguided. Both of these, if you read the ayah with the grammar, you will see they are both emphasized. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهِ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ Both are emphasized. This is the most certain evidence that guidance is only in the way of and through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that all other ways that do not come from him or bypass him are misguided. It is critical for us to do three things. Believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is the Rasul. Believe Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Believe whatever he tells you without question, because he said it. And then follow him. Obey him itaat and emulate him ittiba. All three are critical to being Muslim. This is the foundation. If you leave out any one of these, then we are no longer Muslim. Because there were people in Makkah and Medina who believed in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they did not believe him and they did not follow him. There were people, at least, who claim to believe him. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. There were other people who believed him, صَادِقُ الْأَمِينِ, but they did not believe that he is the Rasul. All three are required. To believe in him, to believe him, and to itaat wa ittiba. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا كما أمر، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. فقال تعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with four steps, as I mentioned to you, four steps to Jannah. Recite, purify, teach, and demonstrate. From the audience perspective, people like us, these four steps would be listen. When he's reciting, listen. When he says purify yourself, submit. When he is teaching, learn. And when he is demonstrating, practice. These four are not independent of each other, but they are a continuum like a staircase. At the top of that is Jannah. We must experience each of these. We cannot leave out a stage. If we leave out a stage, we will fail. It's very, very important for us to keep this in mind. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhi ajma'in, did not learn the Quran for entertainment or to debate or to intellectualize or for any reason other than to listen and obey, to practice it in their lives and to modify and mold their lives according to the Quran. And that is why we have the famous story of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, who took the different narratives about the number of years, but up to 8 years, to memorize Suratul Baqarah alone. Just one surah. And they asked him, why did it take so long? He said, because the way we learned, the Sahaba, we would go to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, take 10 ayats, we would memorize them, we would reflect on them, we would understand them, we would practice them in our lives, and only when we were satisfied, we would go back for the next 10. This was the methodology of learning. Right? They did not go for anything else. They went to practice it, learn it and practice it in their lives. As I mentioned to you, the Quran al-Kareem came as the spoken word. It affected hearts and minds and transformed lives. It still has the same power, but only for those who approach it the way the Sahaba approached it. There is a big difference between hearing and listening. Listening implies deep interest. Hearing is only sound. So when you listen to the Quran, listen with great and deep interest. Only then will it enter the heart, as it entered the heart of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhi ajma'in. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the whole life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the finest example, not only his words. Allah said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوَ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah said, indeed, in the Messenger of Allah, meaning in his life, you have an excellent example for whoever has hope in Allah and the last day and remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a great deal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be carefully preserved, right up to the smallest detail, by those who loved him more than their own lives, so that those who came after, people like us, would practice every little detail in their own lives. From the appearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi made a whole book, Shama'ilul Muhammadiyya, which is called Shama'il Tirmidhi, which is about the appearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The whole book of hadith. He collected all the hadith of Shama'il. From his appearance, his likes and dislikes, his facial expressions on different occasions, to the way he cut his nails, what the soles of his feet were like, how much water he used for wudu, how and what he ate and drank, how he slept, how he walked and talked, how he treated his friends and his enemies, how he administered justice, how he behaved in all kinds of situations. All of this and more have been carefully preserved. All of them are the recipe for a life and success that has no parallel in place and time. We have the blueprint and the field book. We just need to follow it to succeed. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Allah said, say, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you sincerely love Allah, then follow me, emulate me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you and forgive your sins, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-forgiving and most merciful. Emulation is the sincerest expression of love. Not speech, but emulation, imitation. So it's not how many nasheeds you know, or you can sing, which makes a difference. It is whether we emulated Rasulullah or not. Whether our appearance, our behavior, our dealings, our manners, and above all, the why, the reason we do anything, our motivations, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at. Emulation is independent of directive and includes everything. Little children emulate their parents. People emulate so-called influencers, most of whom are case studies in what not to do. People buy what brand ambassadors tell them to buy, knowing full well that the brand ambassador is paid to say what he's saying. I say to you, my brothers and sisters, we must follow. This is utter. We have to follow. Aristotle said 2,000 years ago, he said there's nothing original in humanity. He said every human being is following somebody. So why not follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If we must follow, why not follow the best example that Allah ever created? Because the reward of that is that Allah will love us. My brothers and sisters, reflect on the statement of Allah that He will love the one who emulates Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only obeys, but emulates His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Think about that. What does it feel to become the beloved of Allah? Allah will love you. What does it mean? How does it feel? Think about that. It is literal. It is literal. يُعْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah will love you. What is the benefit of that? The one who truly loves Allah doesn't do it for the benefit, but I say start somewhere. Because that is the road to Jannah. The road of the Sunnah is the road to Jannah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with us and to help us to do that which is pleasing to Him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to live and work in a way where He is pleased with us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu for His help and His protection and His and to show us His signs of how He helps those who are on the haq and how He punishes those who are on the batil, especially with relation to Gaza and right now with relation to Lebanon. We are living in a world where bad news not only sells, but bad news is there every day. So it is very important also to focus on the good news. And the good news is that, alhamdulillah, we are people who worship Allah. And we do not make shirk. And if we make shirk, then stop making shirk. Correct ourselves. The good news is that this dunya will end. The good news is that whoever is in power today will not be in power tomorrow. Just like whoever was in power yesterday is not in power today. All of this will change. And only Allah will remain. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. And then who remains? Only Allah. Only Allah. So we worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any partners because He has no partners. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت. وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت فانك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك فانه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب اليك ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على نبيه الكريم وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين يا عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدوا يستجيب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.